Hi, this is Heaton Shaw.
And this is Steli Efti.
And we're here to talk about what people did, especially us, Steli and I, when we first arrived to Silicon Valley. And obviously that's on the Startup Chat today.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
There you go. So here's why we want to talk about that. I got an email this morning from somebody saying, hey, Steli, you know, listener of the Startup Chat, big fan. And I saw a talk you gave on like how you sold everything you had. You bought a one-way ticket. You came to the Bay Area and you mentioned all the mistakes you made and all that. And I'm just about to do the same thing. I'm just about to come to the Valley to start my startup here. So what advice do you have for me? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? I just want guidance. And I thought, you know, I had a lot. So I started writing an email to him. And then I instantly went, delete all that. And I went, we're going to record the Startup Chat episode. So you're going to hear it in a week or so.
Yeah.
And then I pointed him to a few other links and things to just get it done. But I'd love to hear kind of your story and the advice you give to people, because you meet a lot of people that are just moved to Silicon Valley and want to make it here. I get that too. So let's just share our advice with everybody who's interested.
Well, I'll start by what I did.
Yeah.
And then you can, and how that happened, how I moved here. And you can probably talk about yours, and then we can give some thoughts for other people.
Yeah.
For me, long story short, after college, I actually moved back to Southern California. I went to college up here, but I wasn't in the tech scene or anything. And this was around 2003. And I was down in LA. And I actually started the first few internet companies down there. And then in 2007, basically at the beginning of that year, I just started literally, there was just so much going on up here. I would go fly up here or drive up here like once or twice a month from LA.
Okay.
And eventually it was just like, hey, like, why don't we just move? Because it was just my wife and I at the time. We were actually living at my dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just decided to move in 2007, it was because I was already coming up here, had already made a lot of friends and stuff like that, had them from before too, and moved up here. I'm sure there's a lot more to the story, but like that's the high level. And once I moved up here, the one thing I did that I think was really helpful to me, but also sort of natural. So I don't know if it's everyone's tactic or everyone should do it, but I'm super helpful, always been super helpful. So there's something I realized up here was lacking, especially because I was coming up so much. And the thing that I realized that was lacking was basically people didn't have much knowledge about marketing, and specifically they didn't have much knowledge about search engine optimization. Mm. And I happened to have a lot of knowledge about that crap, not crap, but really important stuff. Some people around here thought it was crap. And so everybody I met, whether it was an investor, another founder, or even someone working at a company, I would say, hey, I'll go talk to anyone you want about SEO for an hour. And lo and behold, like before I knew it, I had more than enough meetings like every month, every week, whatever, on just helping people out for an hour about SEO. And that led to lots of things. Like there's two notable companies I was an advisor to, notable just because they exited, I guess, both SlideShare and Webs.com. Mm-hmm. And I would say that if I didn't go out there and say, and obviously those folks are friends of mine, I actually just invested in the Webs.com's founder's new company and stuff like that. But, and they also, on my advisor shares, I made money on both those companies, right? SlideShare sold to LinkedIn, Webs.com sold to Vistaprint. And basically, and they were both, you know, nine-figure exits. So it was great for everybody. And the teams, you know, did a great job building those businesses. But at the end of the day, just by me being helpful, I was able to basically, for lack of a better word, network. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what got me, made me a ton of friends around here. And now people don't think I'm an SEO person or anything. But at that time, it was an opportunistic thing to help people out with because people needed help with it.
Yeah, I love that. So I love the – so let's summarize the strategy here real quick.
Go for it.
So first of all, you actually spend a little bit of time here before you moved, right? You had visited, you had some friends, you knew some people online, offline. That's a big component that I think many people miss.
you got to figure out where to live. If nothing else, you got to figure out where to live.
Well, I didn't. I surely didn't.
Your story.
Yes. So before we get into my story, I do think this is very solid advice, and I don't think everybody fully follows this, me included, right? So maybe you want to spend some time meeting people online, and then also maybe you want to visit once or twice before you make the move.
Yeah.
I think that's very solid, basic advice. The next thing is you had something to bring to the table. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Especially something that maybe at the surface was not fashionable at the moment, but it was valuable.
Yeah.
So people wanted it,
yeah,
right? They wanted the benefits of that know-how and skill. So what you did is you showed up here and you were like, I know something that can create value, which means traffic to you. And anybody that needs this can, you know, tell me to come by. I'll sit down. I'll tell you everything I know. And that's just, again, like that goes back to the philosophy of just being useful, being helpful.
Yeah.
And then obviously opens a million doors. It creates friendships and it creates massive good karma, either in the esoteric sense or in the practical. People feel like you've done something for them, so they're much more willing to do something for you whenever you need them, right?
I still get that. I remember that one time you came into our company, right? And I was just one of the designers there, right? And I just remember your talk. It was great.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I still get that,
yeah,
even from back then, and just essentially random people, because I don't necessarily remember these people, but I remember going to their company and talking to them.
Yeah.
So it's helped me in spades. The only reason I would say that it might not apply to other people, maybe it does, is just that I don't know if people – there's two things you have to be able to do to do that. You have to figure out where your value is.
Yeah.
And you have to match that with what people need. I could have been valuable in a lot of different ways. I could have been valuable in anybody starting a consulting company at that time because I was pretty good at it by then. Honestly, nobody starts those around here. So that wouldn't have been helpful, right? But a lot of people start startups, and search and Google and SEO used to be one of the biggest channels back then. It still is.
Yeah.
So I think the important lesson there, I would say, if anyone wants to consider that tactic, is make sure that you can do something valuable for people. I think everyone can. I'll caveat it first by saying I think everyone can. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be valuable to people around here. And then the second thing is make sure that aligns with some – and you have some way of letting people know you can do that. For me, my way was everyone I talked to, I would just tell them that, right? Because a lot of times they'd be like, oh, what can I do for you? Or maybe they're doing something for me, or they're just meeting up. And I would just give them that spiel sort of thing.
I love that. So – you know, and also to be fair, some people that come here are fairly early in their journey, in their career. Maybe they don't have the thing that they can truly bring massive value
maybe
to the table.
Maybe they have time.
Maybe they have time. Maybe they have, you know, energy, hustle. But they need to know what they know and what they're capable
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely.
Right? So now, when you came here, so one of the unique things here is that you weren't looking for a co-founder or a bro founder or whatever. No. You had Neil, right?
Yeah.
You knew that
you already had somebody I was going to start the companies with.
Yes.
Yeah, and they weren't here, but that didn't matter.
That didn't matter. So when you came here, so you came here because there's lots of people, there's many, many reasons, but you didn't come with a specific idea in mind to build a specific company here, right?
No, it was more of location.
Okay.
I found myself coming here.
Okay.
There was a lot of people here. There weren't enough people in LA. There still are not enough people in LA that are trying to do new things, in my opinion. And for me, I really like being around people that are trying to do new things and create things like these startup people. I don't think being here is like as much of an advantage as it might have used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to mention that we're talking about being in the Bay Area, but we're not necessarily, I know you feel this way too, but we're not necessarily advocates of you have to be here. Because I know some people are, so it's important to make that clear.
Yeah.
I'm just here because there's more people here trying to start things than anywhere else physically.
So when did you, you're hanging around, you're helping people, you building relationships and friendships. What happens in the meanwhile? You're doing a consulting business during that time.
Yeah, we were running a few products and doing our consulting business.
Okay.
So we were doing a bunch of things, which is pretty typical.
And then what was the timeline between that and you starting Kissmetrics, which was probably the most Silicon Valley venture-backed
thing
that you did?
We raised the first round in 2008. And when I got here in late 2007, I believe it was late 2007, just started making friends like that. And, you know, I would say that I was, whether it's lucky enough or whatever the word is, I was given opportunities by a few individuals in different ways. And one of the individuals that gave me a ton of opportunity to get out there and for lack of a better word, build a brand and do all that stuff was Dave McClure. So he was the one that put me on, I think one of the first panels he put me on was at South by Southwest. I think we both fucked it up. But I fixed his slides, so they didn't look so silly. Still colorful. Anyway, so I think, you know, for me, it's like by being helpful like that, I got these opportunities. I'm pretty sure I met the SlideShare folks because of Dave McClure as well. Mm. He'd wear their shirt all the time, right? And he was repping them because he just loved them.
Yeah.
Right? And so a lot of it has to do with, for me, at that time, the web, the internet, all this stuff was also different because it was 2007, 2008. And there were folks like Dave McClure that were out there and just doing their thing. He was an angel investor at the time, I believe, and he wasn't really at 500 startups or that hadn't started yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got lucky like that, but I don't think I would have unless I was just out there helping out, right, and just meeting people. So, you know, I guess to your question and your point, it's like, if you just start being open, at least for me, I was open, I was helpful. And you know, the one thing I did back then that I don't do right now is I actually did go to a lot more events. Mm. I want to think that events were different back then. I do believe that some of that is true, right? Like Dave McClure had the, I forgot what it was called, Startup to Startup. Mm-hmm. And it was a dinner, right? You might have been to one of them at some point.
Yeah.
It was really cool, right? And I probably went to, I went to that for like 2 years straight, like almost every month, unless I couldn't make it. And that was actually a place where I developed a lot of friends. In fact, I'm having lunch with one of the friends I met back then today. Mm. And so I still believe a lot of these things are going on that are more casual and not as exclusive, and you can get invited in from a friend or something like that, just to a dinner or an event or something like that. And honestly, it wasn't even networking for me. It was just like just being present at those things, right? And trying to learn and trying to absorb, but not really necessarily trying to meet everybody, which is what other people tend to do. You know, they just want to meet everybody. That wasn't my move.
So let's share a few thoughts on that, and then I'll share my story and we'll take it from there.
Yeah.
I'll come to the Valley and then I'll go to events to meet people. And in the Bay Area, there's more events than you could attend. If you made it your life's mission to go to events, you still could not go to all events.
Yeah, and because there was a lot of events back then too. And now there's probably at least 5 or 10X. So
it's just an insane amount of events every day, right?
Yes.
So should I go to lots of events? Should I go to little? Should I go to no events? How many events are too many? Which events are worth going? It's a very, very like common question that people have. And I'd love to hear your thoughts first, and I'll share mine. But what is your advice if somebody asks you about, like, I want to network, I don't know people here, what's kind of the best way to go about things besides offering help and value? Like, specifically when it comes to going to places where lots of people congregate.
The one tactic I've found that works, if you're willing to do it, is volunteer. Mm. Volunteer at an event.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wants volunteers.
Yes.
Right? So if you go email like Saster, right, and email like Gretchen, the COO, I'm sure she will tell you yes or no if she needs volunteers.
Yeah.
Right? So like it's pretty easy to get to these event organizers, even the smaller event ones, be like, can I help out? Right? Yeah. So that's an easy way to just get in, number one. Number two, easy way because a lot of times the people that are helping out are like literally walking the speakers over to the stage and stuff like that.
Yep.
I've met a lot of interesting people that way, actually, when I'm walking up to the stage and there's some random person who's just volunteering and they'll tell me I'm just volunteering. I'm like, oh, cool. What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. Huge.
It's
like major key.
Before you walked into the office, a volunteer of an event I spoke to last year was messaging me on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Took a selfie in Tokyo with another volunteer from that event. And they're like, look at who I ran to. And both of them are kind of friends now. And I mentor them. Yeah. So it's an absolutely classic. No-brainer classic.
It's probably the number one thing you can do if you have that hustle.
Yeah. I love it. I wouldn't have thought about that. So my take on this is, I think the way framework-wise you want to think about this is you want to start as inclusive as possible, but then very quickly get very, very exclusive.
So, a lot of things, I would say, just to feel it out?
Yeah, I would say for the first 4 weeks, don't worry. Is this worth it or not? Was this worth my time? Who gives a shit? Go everywhere. Your time is not worth a lot. Like, just go. Go meet people and let a little bit of serendipity in the universe do its work and see what happens. Get a feel for things. But then too many people do this for way too long, right? So at some point you have to start valuing your time more and more and picking and choosing. And the way that I would go about things, and I'll talk about this later on as well, but when it comes to just events, you want to really focus on the event, and this could be just a personal dinner or somebody's like house party, whatever it is, doesn't have to be like an official conference, but you want to go to the things where the chances that people that are going to show up there are doing things as high as possible. So there's lots of events of people that are thinking about doing things. I want to start a company, so I'll go to an event to find a co-founder. I think about starting a company, so I want to learn more about raising money. That's all great. Those are all people that are just about to make things happen. But if you really want to go and meet the most valuable people that you can, you want to go to events where people have already running things and are growing those or trying to make them work.
This pretty much goes back to one of your key sort of, I would say, pieces of advice on getting advice. Too, right? Which is like people that are a few steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
So if you're going to events, your suggestion would be, you're not quite there yet. What's the point of going to events with other people that are not quite there yet, right? You probably want to go to – it's better to go to events with people that are a little further along.
Yes. Yeah.
Makes sense?
So you want to – you know, you can go to a conference and watch somebody give a talk that's like 100 steps ahead of you. That's inspirational. But you want to mingle with people that are just like 2 steps ahead of you because that's practical, right? And you don't want to find yourself in events where over and over you find yourself surrounded by people that are at the exact same step as you, wondering how to get to the next one. Nobody will be able to really help each other than emotional support of like, oh, this is really hard or whatever. But you want to go to be surrounded by people that are a little ahead of you,
yep.
Usually. All right. So my story, when I came here, was very ignorant, right? So I literally arrived at San Francisco airport. I'd sold everything I had back in Europe.
With your family?
No, alone. I didn't have family back. I mean, I had family, but not children or a wife back then. So I arrived myself alone. I didn't have like a place. I didn't know what my long-term visa situation would be. I didn't know anybody. This is April 2007.
Great.
Yeah.
So we got here almost the same year.
I never realized that until you just said it. So I arrived and I literally asked somebody at SFO how to get to Silicon Valley, just to give people a sense for my level of ignorance, right? And then I remember somebody going, but you mean Palo Alto, Stanford? I was like, Stanford, yes. That sounds dope.
Oh my God. At the airport. You're out, got bags.
Yeah.
Not too many.
No.
And you're asking the taxi driver.
Yeah. No, not the taxi driver. Just somebody that was on my flight.
Oh, random person. Yeah, okay, yeah, random cool, person. Cool.
So I have to say, it's not that I'm just that stupid and ignorant. It's also that I had this – I did enjoy the idea of adventure. So I wanted it to be like that to a certain extent. I was seeking that.
You wanted to ask.
Yes. I wanted to show up here and then figure it out, right? So it was also by design, not just by stupidity, but also by that. But
we know you're pretty stupid.
That's just, how can you not know? So the first day, and this is important. So I show up. I drop out of the call train on California Avenue versus University. I walk a few blocks down and I see Hotel California, which sounded pretty appealing to me. I knew the song, right? So I'm like, okay, this is my new home. This is where I'm checking in. And now I did something that is, to me, at the core of all of people's problems, right? Which was, I show up. It's fucking whatever, 1 p.m. Pacific time. I set up my fucking hotel room. I unpack. I check my emails for whatever fucking reason. And I go, what should I do with the day? And there's this little voice in my head that goes, take it easy. It's your first day in the U.S. The jet lag. Just stay in the hotel. Chill out. Just get acquainted.
That's not what Stelly did.
No. And then there's this other voice in my head that goes, you motherfucker, you're not going to be in the hotel room all day, you little, insecure teenager. Get the fuck out and meet people and do something.
Wait, how old were you?
24. So I go online. I go on meetup.com of all places and I go on Twitter and I find that there is a geek dinner in San Francisco, right? And these were, as far as I can tell, kind of – Robert Scoble was always on there, Dave McClure, a bunch of other people, and they would just gather with a group of people, have dinner and chit-chat geeky stuff in startups. And I was like, all right, shit, let's go there. And I take the train and I take it the wrong direction. So I get to San Jose first. I have to take it the other direction to get to San Francisco. I don't fucking know what I'm doing.
Now you don't ever go to San Jose, huh?
Yeah. Don't take that direction.
And there's nothing there anymore. That used to be Silicon Valley. Stelly, did you know that?
I will ignore all those comments to move on with my story. So I arrive there. I go to this dinner. And literally next to me is sitting Dave McClure. And on the other side, a few chairs further, is Robert Scoble and a bunch of entrepreneurs and geeky people. And I just my English is bad. I sound like an idiot. I don't know really what I'm doing there. I'm super uncomfortable. Also, I was telling this to a new intern that we have at the company. It's also from Europe. And his English is pretty good, like much better than mine was. But he feels so insecure because he's not he doesn't feel like he can express himself as well as he is used to. And I was like, that's good for your character. Like, I remember the first 2 years of being in the U.S., literally feeling like every sentence that came out of my mouth sounded stupid. I was super, but it's good for you. It's good for you, even if you feel uncomfortable. Anyways, so I'm sitting there, I don't know what I'm doing. And I actually have a Dave McClure story on this because he was trying, at some point I'm like, all right, network, talk to people, say something.
This is going
to
be a thing, Dave McClure story.
Yes, so I turn around and Dave is showing some other person some new app that was basically based on Google Homepage back then where you could have all these apps.
NetVibes probably.
Yep. Something, and I just go, well, let me join whatever demo is going on there. Yeah. And Dave turns around, looks at me and goes, Ed, dude, can you give us some privacy? And I'm like, oh, okay. He's feeling the stupidity. Okay, I turn around. Eventually, I talked to Robert Scoble, and I'm going to give Robert a huge shout out here because I'm telling him, hey, this is my first day in the U.S. I don't know anything, one-way ticket, all that. And he's like, oh, that's fucking awesome. Give me a call tomorrow. And I'm like, what's your phone number? And you could just sense he was like, well, you don't read my blog. It's on my fucking blog. My phone number is on my blog. I'm like, okay, I'll give you a call tomorrow. The next day, I wake up, 10 a.m. or something. I'm giving Robert Scoble a call. I'm super nervous, right?
Of course.
And he picks up and I'm like, yeah, I'm the dude from last night's dinner, da-da-da, this and that. And he's like, cool, cool, cool. Where are you staying? I'm like, Palo Alto. Which hotel? This and this. He's like, okay, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes. I'll pick you up. I'm like, okay, all right. I hang up. He picks me up. We drive to some kind of a coffee place. We grab coffee. We sit down. And he's like, well, tell me all about your life story. And then I start speaking. He's like, wait, stop. And he goes to his car and he brings this massive camera and sets it up, hits record and go, all right, go. Who are you? And he interviews me for an hour.
Wow.
That interview is on the web. And if you want to see the difference, Delta X, we're going to link it for sure.
Hell yeah.
Today, sometimes I go to conferences, especially the ones that I've spoken multiple times, and I know people know me, and I will show a clip from that just to blow people's minds to go, oh, that was Stelly in 2007?
Because I can't believe I've never seen that.
I am like the stupidest, most like naive version of myself. It's just amazing. It's a very, very humbling video for me. And he interviews me for an hour, and then he goes, all right,
this is literally day two in the U.S.
Yes,
not
day two.
In the Bay Area.
Yes,
straight up.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
And all because I didn't stay at my fucking hotel room.
Young Stelly.
And then he goes, what are your plans for the rest of the day? I'm like, dude, I don't have plans for the rest of the year. I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, well, I'm speaking at this, it was SF New Tech meetup in San Francisco. Do you want to come? I'm like, yeah, sure. So he takes me and he's so fucking nice.
Oh,
again,
yes.
Robert Scoble.
It's just him.
He drives me first to the first HP garage in Palo Alto.
Oh,
we go
wow.
out. He shows me that. Gives
you
me
got,
the fucking.
You got the premium tour.
I got the fucking.
I haven't
fucking,
even been to the garage, man. That's cool.
I get the premium fucking Silicon Valley tour.
Wow.
I'm this nobody kid, right? And he's just so nice. Shows me around, tells me about all these stories, drives me to San Francisco. He goes and speaks at SF New Tech. I'm like front row. And at the end of the conference, there was like four speakers. At the end of the whole thing, they had this 15-second soapbox concept where people could line up that needed something and then get the mic for 15 seconds and go, I'm looking for a co-founder. I'm looking for funding.
I got to say that I love it when meetups and conferences do that, and I'm bummed out when they don't do
it.
Because when there's people in the audience that could use that time on stage, you should give it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So they did that, and again, it was this
did
moment.
You go up?
Yes.
Okay.
So I go up. Of course I did. So I
wasn't going to let you go.
So I go up and I take the mic. And it's just literally everybody's like, I'm looking for co-founders. I'm looking for funding. We're looking for PR. And I take the mic and I'm like, all right, this is my second day in the U.S. I'm looking for friends. So if you are interested in some random dude, you know, from Greece and Germany, and you don't have enough friends already, come and say hi. And the people fucking lost their mind, you know, standing ovation, everybody's laughing. At the end of the event, it's the four speakers surrounded by people and me, and I have the biggest crowd. And it's just everybody just like here's my card, call me, we're hang out, right? So for the next 2 weeks, all I did was calling people that I'd met there and going for dinner, lunches, and meetups, right? That was the beginning of my – it was a pretty crazy first
Talk
2 weeks.
Talk about like hazing, frat style. That was great. You got hazed into the valley.
But all because I didn't stay in my comfort zone. All because I went, I don't fucking – like, let's not stay in the hotel room.
Yeah.
Let's go out, take the wrong train to San Jose.
Still
take
you didn't the get up.
Yeah.
You could have easily went back home. You could be like, all right, this is not going
to
work.
Then take the train to San Francisco. Yeah. Then talk to Dave McClure, who tells you to back the fuck off.
Great.
And then talk to Rowan Scoble, right? That interviews. And I'm so glad. Look at this. For the rest of my life, I had that interview of my first day here.
That's amazing.
Right? So there's so many good things that came out of that. And again, Robert Scoble, amazing human being, has been so kind to me. And I met my roommate at that SF Tech New meetup. I met good friends that I'm still friends with, like, so much good has happened just because one dude was really nice to me, right? And who didn't have to be nice to me whatsoever. I was the absolute nobody.
That's him though.
Right?
Like that's definitely him.
Yeah.
And you definitely, you know, you were lucky.
Yeah. I was incredibly
I mean, you definitely
lucky.
Put yourself in the right spot, but like you were lucky.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
But I gotta say, like, I think it could still work today in the same way. You have to put yourself out, but the same thing won't happen, right?
Yeah,
to most people, right? It was just very opportunistic.
Yeah.
Because I still remember 2007, 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
I think 2010 is when stuff got different. But 8, 7, 8, 9, it was like housing crash, stuff like that. Like, we were like, all right, we don't know if there's gonna be startups anymore, really. Like at the end of the day, but
dude, I remember at that geek dinner when I met Robert Scoble, I remember Facebook at that – I might have had just a Facebook account for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and I remember people asking Robert Scoble at the dinner table, what's the next big thing? And Robert Scoble saying, I know people think I'm crazy for this, but I think Facebook is going to be massive. Like, and people were – like,
crazy, right?
Really? Like, really? Like, and I remember going, really, Facebook? Yeah. It was that early. It was that early that people were like, really, Facebook? And he was like, spot on. I have to give him credit for that. But it was definitely a different type. Much, I mean, it was still like peaking in the sense that it was like Web 2.0 was, and the big kind of new version of the boom.
Yeah.
But I don't think that this can be replicated. That's not a strategy. The strategy that can be replicated
is
just
mindset.
Show up. And when things don't go your way, just keep showing up.
Yeah.
Right? But here's the one advice that I want to give to people that I didn't follow. When I arrived in the Bay Area, I was an arrogant prick because I thought within 2 years, I'd be Time Magazine Person of the Year. I'd built this company that's billions and billions of dollar business, changing the world, right? And I thought I'm too good to work for somebody else. Like, I've been only an entrepreneur my whole life, and that's what I'm going to keep being. And I didn't know enough, like looking back with hindsight, I knew so little about like running and growing businesses, and I knew nothing about technology, and I knew nothing about raising money, and I knew nothing about building product teams, and I knew so little about all these things that
it... What about sales?
I knew a lot about sales, but I didn't want to do selling.
But you knew a lot about sales.
I did.
Just checking.
Yeah. Cool. If I had started day one of like, can I help companies with sales? I crushed it, right? But I spent 5 years trying to be Steve Jobs, tried to be like a visionary product CEO
sure.
with having no fucking product idea experience, struggling and like the running a zombie startup and wasting a lot of value and time in the process.
Yeah.
Today, the funny thing is I meet an incredible amount of founders that come from Europe. right? And every time a founder comes from Europe, they meet with me. So then the next time they meet people that want to move to the US, the Valley, they go, you should talk to Steli. So I have this huge deal flow of like European startups that want to come here that just want to meet with me or get advice. So, and I've seen founders that had crushed it, had big exits in Europe and then come here. Investors, VCs that are big portfolio companies that were super successful, high profile in Europe, come here to start a company in Silicon Valley. And the majority of people fail and go back for one reason or another. The most successful examples that I have of people that I've observed for the last 9 years that have done this, I mean, I was just stupid that I just hung in there and I wasted 5 years of failure and then I had 4 years more of like ups and downs. And now I'm at a really good place. I'm doing really well. But it just took me just, you know, a lot of time.
It wasn't overnight, huh?
It was not overnight. But the people that I know that had the fastest, smartest way to success, what they did is this. And this is my advice to many people that know nobody here. They have no connections. They've never done a startup quite here. And they don't have already a running business and just want to bring it here. They're just like, I want to start a startup in the Bay Area. I want to come here and start a company. No matter how experienced you are, how big you are in wherever you're playing in, you're still a nobody here, right? People don't know you. People don't care about your exit in wherever. You don't have a network. You don't have friendships. You don't know how things work. So my advice would be don't consider not starting your company on day one. Consider joining somebody else's. Just go to a team that's really high caliber, that's doing really well, that's not already thousands of employees, maybe just 10, 20 people. Join and go, hey, I have all this experience. I've done all these amazing things. I have real skill sets. I'll join you guys and I'll help you for the next year or two to crush it. My ultimate ulterior goal is to get to know more people and to build a team myself and a business later on. Working with a great talented group of people, you'll find your co-founder, your first employee. You will find your first investor might be the founders or their investors. You will have a social circle where you get to know people really well besides the, we had dinner and then there's a funny event 2 weeks from now that we meet each other again, where it's like very loose connections. You're working with people every day. You get to know them really well. Right. You build friendships at a different level. You see these people every day. And then you can use that as a jumping board to do something much faster, because the number one reason why all these great people don't succeed here is that they don't find enough great people to build a business around. They don't find a great co-founder. They don't find great teammates, because all the amazing people are already busy with working somewhere else or starting their own things. And you're this person nobody knows. And the only people you attract are the other people that nobody knows and that know nobody, right? So it's the blind and the blind getting together to try to,
blind,
you know.
The blind,
yeah, it's kind of that kind of a deal. And I did this myself for 5 years, right? So it's not I'm above this. But, and I have like now two solid case studies of this where somebody came and followed this advice versus trying to do something immediately, although their ego could have led them to it because they were successful millionaire founders themselves. And they did a year at another startup, and then they literally started the next thing with the co-founder that they met there, and they got money from the founders, and they're crushing it now. Three years later, they're running huge business.
I gotta say, it only works if you're willing to put in the work for someone else.
Yes.
Literally for someone else, even though you want to start your own company. And it's the hack for networking, if you want to call it that. I totally agree. Yeah. Like, and it's the one anyone can do anytime.
Yeah.
You could have done it back then. I could have done it back then if I wanted to. Anybody today can do it. We're probably going to do an episode on how to get a job at a startup.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
And I think there's been a lot of tips on this, and we've gone a little long, but we told our stories.
Yep.
So we're going to end it here.
Yes.
And if you're thinking of coming to the Bay Area, you can always email us. We'll help. If anything else, just come join the Facebook group. It's thestartupchat.com/FB. And we're doing a lot of links and stuff there where we're sharing links. You can comment on them. We have